Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to talk about the greening of the Minneapolis VA, meet the new senior enlisted advisor for the Air National Guard, and hear from the Minnesota National Guard's Command Sergeant Major. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
Many of us drive the same route day in and day out, so it's easy to forget that driving is a complex task. That's why it's important to stay focused, because your daily commute can change in a split second. Distracted driving makes it difficult to react when danger strikes during your drive. Cell phones and texting are often the main culprit, but drivers are susceptible to distractions from daydreaming, eating, reaching for items, changing the radio station, and dealing with passengers or kids. Here are a few tips on how to avoid driving distracted. Turn off your cell phone or place it out of reach. Pre-program your music and radio stations. Designate a passenger to help with directions or set your navigation app in advance. Avoid eating and drinking. Teach children the importance of good behavior in the car. No one intends to seriously injure or kill someone while driving distracted, but good intentions don't prevent crashes. Making smart choices will.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. The Minneapolis VA healthcare system's mission is to honor American veterans by providing exceptional healthcare that improves their health and well-being. As a responsible member of the communities in which we serve veterans, we understand our facilities must operate in a sustainable fashion that protects the environment and the health and safety of our patients, employees, visitors, and communities. And joining us today to talk about the greening of the VA is George Johnson, who is the GEMS Program Manager, GEMS standing for Green Environment Management System. George, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you very much, Tom. I'm pleased to be here.
George, we're going to go back a little bit. I understand you were in the Navy.
Yes, sir. Born and raised in St. Paul. After high school, I was not able to afford college, so I went into the U.S. Navy in 1972 and served as a hospital corpsman for 3 years, mostly in the San Diego area and the Navy Regional Medical Center in Southern California.
And after you got done with that, you attended the University of Minnesota and St. Thomas, says here, getting degrees in soil science, hydrogeology, and business administration.
That's correct. I had always been interested in my corpsman work in public health and water quality. And so when I got into college, because I had been an outdoors person, Minnesota, camping, hunting, fishing, I did not want to sit in a laboratory and do tests all the time. So I got involved in the rapidly expanding field of environmental science. And water quality was a specialty of mine for public health protection, drinking water, and a number of other things.
That wasn't real common in the mid-70s, was it?
No, actually, the environmental movement really got started in the 1970s with the creation of the Environmental Protection Agency and a number of laws to protect water quality and air quality. And I managed to jump on board, and after finishing my graduate work, my first real job, besides laboring for the University of Minnesota, was to get a job at the Environmental Protection Agency in the 1970s when it was just starting.
Very exciting. Hydrologist. Now, what does a hydrologist do?
A hydrologist basically is a water scientist. Our job is really to protect the quality of water from contamination with organic materials, with chemicals, and also to ensure the responsible use of water. So it's both quality and quantity. But again, from the environmental side, most of our early concerns were with the quality issue, making sure water was safe to drink and use in various processes.
And a while after the EPA, you joined another firm, Malcolm Pirnie Engineers, and became a hydrogeologist? Now, what's the difference there, George?
Well, again, it's a fine distinction, but a hydrogeologist looks at the movement of water through geologic materials, rocks and soil, sand, et cetera. And again, in the 1970s and early 80s, there was an awful lot of concern about water pollution. So I would work as a well driller, installing wells, doing monitoring, testing, again, to see where contamination had come from various facilities, and to ensure that the drinking water that people had was safe and that we filtered it and made sure that all the bacteria were cleaned and cleared. And I did that for a private firm, Malcolm Perney, which actually was headquartered out of New York City area, but they had an office here in Minneapolis, and I worked out of the Minneapolis project office, going around the country, working on a number of cleanup sites and environmental problems.
Now, how did you get to the VA?
Well, I'll tell you, in the course of my career, I did more and more project management work with water quality and Superfund and cleanup, and I love Minnesota, born and bred here, always came home again here. And again, because of my work as a corpsman, I'd always had an interest in health. So I had the opportunity, because of the advanced training that I'd had and the experience in the private sector, to apply for and get a job at the Minneapolis VA as their green environmental management systems coordinator. And basically there, I coordinate compliance with all the environmental laws. Water quality, hazardous waste, solid waste, air quality. I also work on sustainability, recycling, energy use, water use, water conservation, and energy efficiency. So again, I cover a lot of different areas at the hospital. Basically, anything that is environmental, I relate to in the departments. Make sure first and foremost, after taking care of the veterans, that we obey all the environmental laws and report that data.
We're speaking with George Johnson, the GEMS program manager from the Minneapolis VA Medical Center on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, George, tell us about this. You are the Green Environmental Management System Program Manager. That's a long title. What does that really mean in English?
Well, pretty much I do a little bit of everything to every department. In terms of English, first of all, we have to obey the environmental laws. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency monitors how much waste we generate and that we take care of it properly. So that's a big part of what I do is waste management, making sure we comply with all the laws. The hospital generates all kinds of waste.
And some of it's medical waste, which has to be handled carefully and separately.
Absolutely. The wastes are very complicated. They're hazardous waste from drugs, from chemotherapy, from research, infectious waste, as you say. We also have a small amount of radioactive waste that we deal with, as well as large amounts of solid waste and things that we recycle. So I sort of coordinate making sure we comply with all those things and that we collect the data and that we are sure that the hospital is doing everything that it's legally required to do.
So how do you find the Minneapolis VA Medical Center to be as a place to work? I know it's a great place to go as a patient. They take wonderful care of the veterans.
The Minneapolis VA is the best job I've ever had in my life. The people there are amazing, as you say, even though my job is not primarily medical care, which they are excellent at. The staff there is a caring, is a camaraderie there. Those of us who are in the military kind of know what I'm talking about. When you go to the VA hospital, you're part of the military family and you're treated like a person. There's a lot of caring people. In addition to all the staff members, we have a tremendous number of volunteers who dedicate their time to try to improve the tender, loving care that we give our veterans, as well as making sure we give them the best possible medical care that we can. And we do very, very well at it. I am extremely proud to be part of this operation.
Now, George, you've told us that you take care of the hazardous waste and solid waste, which has got to be a big job in that. That's a huge facility. But also recycling, water quality, air quality, and sustainability. Do you have a staff that works with you, or are you doing this all by yourself?
I am the primary manager of the environmental field. I do have other staff that work with me with collateral duties and assist with that, and I work basically under the moniker of the safety department, which is part of the executive office. So we report directly to the executives because safety, including environmental compliance with hazardous waste and hazardous materials, is job number one, and they put a big priority on that. So I am an army of one, but I also have many people that help me in a number of capacities.
You work with all those other departments to make sure we're doing things right.
Absolutely, sir.
George, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk more with George Johnson, the GEMS program manager from the Minneapolis VA Medical Center on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking today to George Johnson, who is the GEMS program manager, and GEMS stands for Green Environmental Management System, out at the Minneapolis VA, and he's been there 8 years. And George, one more time, the Green Environmental Management System, what does that really mean? You're trying to take care of things properly.
Absolutely. My job is to make sure we are in environmental compliance with all the state, federal, and county laws for air, water, and waste, and also that we do sustainability, that we recycle, that we conserve energy, that we conserve water, all while operating one of the best hospitals in the United States.
So that means being a good steward of the environment.
Yes, sir.
And you're handling solid waste, hazardous waste materials, recycling, water quality, air quality. And what about your practices out there? Are you establishing or putting in place sustainable practices so this can go on over a long period of time?
Absolutely. That is the fundamental job that I have, is to ensure that what sustainability means is that we don't take more from the environment than it can yield. So we look at the long-term cost analysis when I'm involved with equipment purchases. We look at what it would cost, not just what it costs up front, but what it costs to maintain things in terms of energy, in terms of staff operation and maintenance. In terms of managing waste, we look at the fact that it may cost us a little more to do it properly up front, but the long-term costs of improper waste disposal, which is what the Environmental Protection Agency has been fighting for years and years, we don't engender that. It's always easier to do things right up front and not pay the costs later. So in addition to my environmental background, I had to take an MBA in economics and try to understand the balance, the cost effectiveness of these practices.
So your goal really is to be a good steward of the environment and to establish sustainable practices. By the time you're done with your career at the VA, you want that property and that hospital to be in better shape than when you met it.
Yes, absolutely.
And you're making progress after 8 years?
We are making very substantial progress. The Minneapolis VA is one of the most highly recognized VA hospitals in the entire nation for environmental compliance and sustainability. We've won a number of awards over the last 5 years, both from the private medical sectors and also from the Environmental Protection Agency. So we are doing a very good job by all measurable accounts.
Now, George, have you put in place some pollution prevention policies as well?
Yes, that's something we are pioneering here. Actually, Minnesota and our friends over at 3M were doing pollution prevention a long time ago in the 1980s when I was still working with EPA. And I have adopted and implemented a number of those practices as we can into the VA culture. As I'm sure you know, when you're working with a federal agency, there are a lot of rules and regulations to follow, not just the standard environmental things. So I have to work within VA regulations, and sometimes the change is a little slower than I'd like, but time and pressure, just gently pushing them forward in the right direction. That's my mission and part of what I do.
George, the neighborhood that the Minneapolis VA hospital is in is an interesting one. There's a river there, and there's the veterans' home is over there, and Fort Snelling's over there, and there's a lot of green areas. Most of the time I go out there, I see a pack of turkeys along the side of the road. Are you taking into account natural resources and the setting and trying to make sure that you take good care of, you're a good steward of the land around there too?
Absolutely. Our position adjacent, very close to the Mississippi River, puts a great responsibility on us. So we have instituted a number of programs with, for example, managing salt reduction. In the wintertime when roads freeze, we minimize the amount of salt we put on, because our property and that whole property with the VA hospital, the Fort Snelling area, and the cemetery are adjacent to the Mississippi River, which is a great national treasure. And so we do a lot of things to conserve the discharges and to keep as much of the area natural as we can. And that area down there has some joint ownership with the National Park Service as well. So yes, environmental quality is a huge issue for us.
We're speaking with George Johnson, the GEMS program manager of the Minneapolis VA Hospital on Minnesota Military Radio. George, we've had Director Kelly on the show for years now, and it seems like when I think back, they were building the parking ramp, and then they were building a connecting walkway. They've been working on remodeling some of the old buildings out there for the homeless, and it seems I accuse him of wearing his hard hat almost every year because things are going on. How do you handle your efforts and your concerns during all those construction projects?
Well, a part of my responsibility has to do with the environmental review of construction projects, making sure as things are put in place, we follow all the laws, we watch for drainage or runoff, water quality. Also, I do what's called environmental review, where we look at the area because, as you know, most of the area around Fort Snelling is historic. And so we have many older buildings that we have to preserve historically. And when we're remediating them, there are some very special precautions you have to take. And as you said, we're under construction all the time. The demands for medical care by veterans keep increasing, and money is always limited. So we make an effort to do things right. I go on construction inspections. I'm part of the construction review committee. And again, environmental review, which is a formal process of planning, I'm involved with, and that's one of my specialties at the VA hospital.
Now, George, do you solicit input from your neighbors, staff, patients, visitors on all the things you're doing to try to make sure we have sustainable protection out there?
Well, absolutely. Internally, I have what's called a GEMS committee, which is made up of about 25 representatives from the different operating departments in the hospital, the pharmacy, the research area, the operating room, logistics, clinical laboratories. All the various areas are on the committee that I am the co-chair of, along with my associate director, Kurt Thalen, who's the number two man, the executive officer. And we meet monthly or quarterly to discuss these things and promote the policies. A large part of what I do is education, explaining to people what the environmental rules are, how they're changing. I also do specialized education to nurses, to pharmacists, to...
So you provide kind of an environmental umbrella over everything that happens out there.
That would be a very good way to say it, yes.
Now, George, we talked earlier before we were on the air, and it sounded like when you got a chance to come to work for the VA 8 years ago, it was like you took advantage of all of that experience, everything, and you're smiling and you're having a good time there. I know the VA is hiring. They need doctors, nurses, environmental people. They need all kinds of people. What would you say to our listeners if they were thinking about working for the VA?
The VA is a fabulous place to work. It's the best place I've ever worked, Minneapolis VA. And also part of my job as environmental educator is every month I go to new employee orientation and spend about an hour talking to all the new troops or the new staff. And every month we're adding another 50 to 100 people. We do have some turnover, but a number of our programs are expanding. So if you have medical training and are looking for a great place to work or a great place to start your career, I encourage you to very strongly consider the Minneapolis VA Hospital.
Very good, sir. I want to thank you for joining us today.
Well, I thank you for the opportunity.
So George Johnson, the GEMS Program Manager, stands for Green Environmental Management System at the Minneapolis VA Hospital. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to meet the new senior enlisted advisor for the Air National Guard, and we're going to hear from Minnesota National Guard's Command Sergeant Major. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to meet the new senior enlisted advisor to the Air National Guard. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
The Adult Day Center, located in Building 4 on the Minnesota Veterans Home, Minneapolis campus, is a veteran-based community that allows clients to connect with other veterans in a safe, comfortable environment. The Adult Daycare lets clients achieve the highest attainable level of physical, mental, and social well-being with the independence of living at home. It also provides much-needed respite and full array of support services for veterans caregivers. This is the second program of its kind in the country to be opened by a state veterans home and the first to be housed in a historic building, and we are very proud of this. Eligible veterans, spouses, widows, and Gold Star parents can enjoy a unique program that provides much-needed respite to their caregivers. Visit MinnesotaVeteran.org for more information.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. Sergeant Major, welcome back. You're in the studio today. Welcome back.
Yeah, thanks so much, Tom. It's great to be with you, and it's wonderful to be back in the studio. I've missed this place.
You know, and you did me a real nice gift today because you brought some senior Air National Guard enlisted advisors in, and we're going to get to them in a minute. But I want to ask you a little bit about the hierarchy of the Minnesota National Guard.
Okay.
You are the senior enlisted advisor for both the Army and Airside.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. And so my responsibility is to have that oversight, if you will, or the charge to look after the health, the morale, the welfare of our soldiers and airmen of the Minnesota National Guard, which, as you know, because we've talked about, includes both the Army and the Air Force. About 11,000 or so Army soldiers and another 2,100 or so airmen that make up both the Army and the Air Force inside the Minnesota National Guard. So I work directly for the Adjutant General. He's in charge of the overall Minnesota National Guard. And then we have senior enlisted members that help inside each of the branches to kind of relieve or help me, I guess, with that morale welfare support inside of their own component.
So on the Army side, our top enlisted people are Sergeants Major.
Yes, they are.
On the air side, we have Chief Master Sergeants.
That's right.
And in Minnesota, you've got two air units. You've got the 148th Fighter Wing up in Duluth and the 133rd Airlift Wing down in Minneapolis. And on the air side, is there a command Chief Master Sergeant over those two units?
Yes, so each of the wings has a command chief, master sergeant. The wing chief is really what that is, and they work directly for that wing commander. And as you mentioned, one both here in St. Paul and the other one up in Duluth, the 133rd and the 148th Fighter Wing.
But you brought with us today from the headquarters the command chief, master sergeant Kessler. And what's his, can you describe his position and then we'll say hello?
Yeah, absolutely. So he is the Minnesota Air National Guard Command Chief. So he is the senior enlisted person inside of the entire Air National Guard, and he is a member of the Air Force inside the Minnesota Air Guard. And he has been serving in that position for a couple of years now. Actually came into the position back in December of 16, and he's just been a great pleasure to work with. And, you know, we have a great relationship, and he helps me to, like I said before, take care of the Air Force component. But he's also a great friend of the Army as well.
Chief Master Sergeant Kessler, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thanks for having me back. And Sergeant Major, it's been a pure honor and privilege to work with you as well. You've been a friend and a great mentor to me.
Chief, you've served since 1983?
That's correct.
Can you tell us a little bit about, so you've worked your way all the way up, all the enlisted ranks?
All the way up from 18-year-old out of Coon Rapids High School. I joined the active duty military, partly because I didn't know anything about the Air National Guard. And I spent some time in Japan and Nevada, in beautiful Indian Springs, Nevada. Had some good times there. And then I heard about this program called Palace Chase. And I got the opportunity to join the Minnesota Air National Guard by doubling my commitment, what was remaining on my active duty commitment, and become a member of the Minnesota Air National Guard.
Which was left over from the Vietnam era, because I did the same thing and joined the 133rd.
The mighty 133rd. And I was a member of the 210th EIS there. And I spent the better part of 33 years there, and now finishing up my career with the Joint Force Headquarters as the State Command Chief.
And Chief, before you had this position, you were the Command Chief of the 133rd.
That's right. I was there for 5.5 years.
Okay. Now, Sergeant Major told us about this, but now I want the truth. Your position at the headquarters. what do you do as the State Command Chief?
Well, I think he was spot on. It's really a responsibility to try and ensure the morale and welfare and development of our airmen. They come from a lot of wide-ranging skill sets and backgrounds. They have different employers, different challenges. And we really, as command chiefs, work to make sure that they're having the best possible experience in the Air National Guard and that they're developing and growing into what they can be for us.
We're speaking today with some of the top enlisted NCOs in the Minnesota Air and Army National Guard on Minnesota Military Radio. And Chief Kessler, you're coming to the end of your career, I understand.
I am, and I'm really excited because I do have the opportunity to turn the reins over to a great colleague and a great friend.
So what went into your decision to kind of hang it up at this point?
Well, my wife and I have been planning on a somewhat early retirement. I'm 55 years old, and that's been our goal for me to retire at this age for quite some time. And we are avid travelers and hikers, and it's working out that we can do that. We have the resources. I don't have to go and find another job, and we're very blessed that way. And my bride and I will be doing a lot of time on the trails, and we're just very excited to get out and get to it.
Well, how are you ever going to manage it when you don't have all of those stripes on your arms?
It will be different. It will be different not being called chief anymore, but I'm looking forward to my next chapter.
Do you think, I want to be serious for a minute, do you think maybe you're going to miss it just a little bit
when
you walk into your formation or maybe into the 133rd and you come walking in with all those stripes and that star? Everybody kind of turns around and looks.
They do. And we just had a event up at Camp Ripley, and it was a bunch of us Air Force folks, senior enlisted leaders up there. And it was an emotional time for me, more than I thought, to say goodbye to the group.
Chief, we had a little event this morning, and there were some retired officers from the Guard in active duty there, and one of them was accompanied by a retired senior master sergeant from the active duty Air Force. And somebody suggested that officer should never be let out if he wasn't escorted by an NCO to make sure they did the right things. I don't imagine you can say much about that today, can you?
Not at all.
Sergeant Major, he passed the test. He's not getting in trouble. Even on the way out the door, he's doing a good job.
See, you can still teach, I'm using air quotes now, old dogs some new tricks.
Why are you looking at me when you say that, Sergeant Major? We're going to have to take a short break. When we come back, we have an opportunity to introduce our audience to the new Chief Master Sergeants that are going to take your position, Chief Kessler, and we'll have to put him through the ropes here and see how he does.
Sounds great.
Please stay with us. This is Minnesota Military Radio. We'll be right back with these top sergeants. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham and two of the top Air National Guard NCOs. And Command Sergeant Major, we've learned today that your Command Chief Master Sergeant over at headquarters has put in his papers and he's going to retire. We've had Chief Kessler on the show several times over the last few years, and it's been a joy to talk to you, Chief. And what happens next? Did that go out for our NCOs to apply for that position?
Yes, indeed, Tom. So basically what happened is as soon as Chief Kessler determined that he was in fact going to submit for his retirement, we put together a job announcement that went out throughout the entire Minnesota Air National Guard. So eligible candidates could apply. A board was held, and we had several excellent candidates come in and go through the interview process. And a recommendation was made through General Best to the Adjutant General, to General Jensen. And he was the deciding factor on who was selected to take on that role. And so it's great pleasure to be able to bring not only Chief Kessler in to say goodbye and thank him for his great service to the Minnesota National Guard, Air National Guard, but also to welcome Command Chief Master Sergeant Mark Rukavina, who you have your bio in front of him and in front of you. And, you know, he's a great airman, a great senior leader inside of the Minnesota Air National Guard. And he spent a lot of time with the 148th. And it's just great to have him here. And I look forward to what he's going to bring to the table and help us out as an organization.
Chief Rukavina, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. Good to have you in the studio.
Thanks, Tom.
Sir, can you go back? It looks like you started your service in the military shortly after I got out, back in 1980. Can you tell us about how and why you went in and where you served?
Yes, Tom. I joined in 1980. I did not do the active duty route. I had some neighbors that were active in the Guard and in Duluth. So I followed in their footsteps and joined the 148th. And then from there, I spent about 10 years there. And then I went out to Fresno, California. Went out to Fresno to the 144th Fighter Wing for a year and a half, and then had an opportunity to come back to the 148th and serve there until about a year and a half ago, until I had the opportunity to come down to Joint Force Headquarters after my tour as the Wing Command Chief at the 148th to continue to serve down there as the Air Chief down at the headquarters.
So before you came down to the headquarters, you were Command Chief at the 148th Fighter Wing.
I was for 6 years.
For 6 years. And can you tell our listeners a little bit about the capabilities? It is an award-winning F-16 fighter wing.
It is. There I have an opportunity to serve the over 800 enlisted members and be their conduit to the commander. It was just an awesome experience to be able to have that face time and that one-on-one time with an airman, just to walk down and see how they're doing and to represent them at that level.
And you spent all those years at home, basically. You were living in Duluth?
I did.
And got to serve in the 148th, and pretty convenient. But now, did you have to move?
No, I'm going to. I'm hoping to do a little commuting back and forth. We'll see how that goes, depending on schedules. But I plan to work out of Duluth and then spend what time I need down here.
You know, Tom, I think it's important to point out here that I have the only position as a senior enlisted person inside the Minnesota Guard where it's an actual dedicated full-time resource. So the command chief positions, the wing command chief's positions aren't designated as full-time staff members. And so this is a traditional role to be the Minnesota Air National Guard command chief. So he's not getting paid extra to do this. He's getting the paid the same as if he was a chief somewhere else doing something on a weekend drill. And it's just important for our audience to know that this is a huge amount of time that's dedicated to take on this responsibility. And it's not a full-time job.
Sergeant Major, I would guess at that level of that position, that it's more than one weekend a month and a couple of weeks in the summer. There's a lot more days that they have to put in order to get the work done, isn't it?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And, you know, I can speak obviously from my experience and then watching these command chiefs as they work throughout their career. And there are several weekends in the month. You know, it goes in spurts, of course, but we have a traditional minimum one week in a month. But I want to say last month it was three weekends for me and probably the same for Chief Kessler. And when you're in this type of a position with this responsibility, you've got to be available when your soldiers and your airmen are available. And they don't always drill the same time. They don't always have events going on at the same weekend. So you got to spread yourself around so you can be seen. Because that's the important thing about leadership is presence.
Chief Kessler, you're not going to know what to do without all those stripes on your sleeve, but then you're going to have all these weekends. What are you going to do?
It's going to be strange. I've been working, like if I tell all my friends, I've been working part-time for 36 years. Part-time job.
We're talking today to three of the top NCOs in the Minnesota Army and Air National Guard on Minnesota Military Radio. Chief Rukavina, what are your expectations? What are your goals when you finally got this top position on the Air National Guard?
Well, I think as I've thought about it as we come up to the change of responsibility next weekend, is that there's three areas that I'm going to focus on. And the first is clear expectations for all our members. When they make their mistake, if we haven't identified that expectation of what they need to do, we failed as leaders to provide that guidance to them. The second piece, I think, is leader development, which goes along with the TAG's camp plan of leader development. We need to develop our people to take our places. They're all leaders, no matter what rank you're at, but we have to really come up with a firm and deliberate development plan for our enlisted members.
And the third?
The third one is diversity and inclusion. The first part of that is diversity of thought is also important as we bring in our younger generation of members and to take what they have. It's not always, this is the way we've always done it. They bring in better ideas, better things, and better ways for us to do things. And then the inclusion piece of that is when we get a new recruit in, they can't always do their job because they're waiting to go to school. And they're always left isolated a little bit from the other group. And we have to include them into that piece because that's the impression we're giving to our members when they first get in there. If they're not included in part of our team, it becomes a retention issue. So we need to really include everybody into what we're doing.
Sergeant Major, it always comes down to training. In your positions as senior enlisted advisors to the Adjutant General, you have to figure out ways to set the discipline, to set the expectations, to train the younger members of the Minnesota National Guard, whether they're Army or Air, on what is expected of them, how they perform, how they're to take care of themselves, how they're going to go through life in an organized and disciplined way.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And, you know, you really summed it up great. I say three things. Set expectations, provide tools and the resources for our members to meet the expectations, and then enforce the expectations. It doesn't do any good to tell someone what we need them to do for us if we never hold them accountable for what it is that they expect. And I have all the faith and confidence that Chief Rukavina is going to carry on the legacy Chief Kessler started and be able to continue to develop our airmen.
Chief Rukavina, I wish you all the luck in the world. You've got a lot of great airmen in the Minnesota Air National Guard, and I'm sure you're going to have a large degree of success.
Thank you, Tom. It's just a privilege to have the opportunity to continue to serve and represent the enlisted members to our senior leadership.
And Chief Kessler, I've enjoyed our chats and our talks, and I wish you nothing but great things for many, many years is you get to go out and explore Minnesota and the rest of the world.
I've enjoyed them as well, Tom, and thanks for the opportunity to be here, and I've enjoyed your friendship, and I'll be listening.
We'll be here and telling some good stories, and stop by and see us at the fair, because you were out there last year. This year, you'll be out of uniform. I won't even recognize you.
Will do.
Gentlemen, thanks for joining us today. Sergeant Major, we've seen a change of responsibility today for the top Air National Guard senior advisor, and we've talked over and over the years about the fact that you keep recruiting young people, putting them in at the bottom, and then as the rest of the officers, the NCOs, warrant officers, get to the retirement age, they move out of the way, and the next man, the next woman up, the next soldier, next airman up, and they've got to fill those positions and take over that responsibility, and here it is again.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we as leaders have to always be training our replacement. And this is a pretty significant thing, especially at this level when we're talking about the State Command Chief for the Air National Guard. So we'll hold a ceremony. It's that symbology of actually passing the torch, so to speak, where the Air National Guard will now look to Chief Rukavina as that beacon, that senior enlisted person who's going to lead the formation, set the standard, enforce the standard, and lead us into a new direction. And it is important, Tom, that we always have someone ready to step up and take over and fill that void when someone leaves.
And Sergeant Major, we're recruiting from the General Society from all over Minnesota. Diversity is the key, and we're bringing in all these young people, whether they're enlisted or warrant officer or NCOs, and they come in with what they've learned during their life. And what they've learned is the society we have here in mm-hmm. Minnesota. And so you've got to take these young recruits and mold them and teach them and set expectations.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And, you know, when we enlist someone into our service, the thought is this: we have to make sure that we recruit those who are qualified to be members. And for us, that's a physical standard. There's no way to tell whether or not someone is going to be a great soldier or a great airman, what extra baggage they might bring into our organization. Our job as leaders to help shape them, to form them, to comply with and meet the standards that we have set forth inside the organization. So medical qualification is the first thing, and then it's up to the leaders to do the rest.
At Sergeant Major, we have to take on some tough issues like suicide and suicide prevention and sexual abuse, those type of things. How do you handle that when it comes up?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, the first thing is to acknowledge that there's an issue. And our adjutant general has stood up and said, hey, this is not something that we're going to hide behind, and we're going to put it out in the front. We're going to open up the door, so to speak, and let people peek in and come in and get a look at our organization. So today we held a stand down because, as you know, we've talked before that April is Sexual Assault Awareness and Prevention Month. And so we did a stand down today for sexual assault and awareness. And the messaging was very, very clear. We do, as you've mentioned, you know, because we reflect society as well, we do have people inside of our formation that might not live up to what we say they should live up to, that being the culture that we want, the values that we hold serious. And so today we talked about the fact that we have had and we do have sexual assaults inside of the Minnesota National Guard. It doesn't matter if you're male or female. It doesn't matter about your rank. It doesn't matter about your age. Everybody has to be aware of the fact that it can happen, and it has happened, and it does happen inside of our formation. So then the question is, what do you do about it? Well, we've acknowledged we have some issues that have come up inside the organization. So the next thing that we need to do is we need to talk about it and make a stance. And that's what the adjutant general did today. He made a stance. He said, we're standing down. We're talking about it. This is a serious thing, and we're not going to tolerate it. We are going to do everything we can to rid our formation of sexual assault, and we're going to do everything we can to prevent it from happening in the future. And the most important thing is make sure we've got resources available to those that are our victims.
So the adjutant general said, time out. We're going to stand down. We're going to address this issue. And here's our expectations: zero tolerance.
That's exactly right. And it was so serious that we put over 500 people into one of our training facilities. And it, basically, the work was shut down today. This is where your appointed place of duty was to be at this event so we could hear directly from our adjutant general and other senior leaders in the organization to say, our culture is one that lives by these values, and this is what's expected, And moving forward from here on out, everybody is an ambassador to make sure we stop, we prevent sexual assault from happening in our organization, and we do everything we can to create an environment where desired behavior happens. And like I said before, the desired behavior in our organization is one that lives by the values that we hold true and near and dear.
And the culture there is you have battle buddies and you help each other with issues. And if there's an issue and one of your buddies is thinking about doing something wrong, grab them by the nape of the neck and say, no, we're not tolerating this. Let's move on.
You're exactly right. This is the classic, hey, if you see something, you say something. And that's what we need to do. You don't get to be a bystander. Everybody has that responsibility to be observant, to watch what's going on, and to step in and intervene and help out their wingman or help out their battle buddy. Whatever phrase you want to use, we need to take care of each other, because if we don't have each other in formation doing the things we're supposed to be doing, we just can't accomplish our mission. And sexual assault is one of the things that prevents us from accomplishing our mission.
So the Adjutant General, the Minnesota Air and Army National Guard, made it clear today, this is unacceptable behavior. We're not going to have it in your formation.
Without a doubt. If anybody was there and they did not get that message, then they just weren't paying attention, because I thought he was extremely clear. Sexual assault, sexual harassment, misconduct, bad behavior is not acceptable.
Sergeant Major, thanks for joining us today.
You bet, Tom. Thank you so much for the time. I appreciate it.
That was the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. We have one mention today. The Minnesotans Military Appreciation Fund is excited to announce its annual appreciation dinner on Thursday, May 16th. This year's keynote speaker will be Minnesota native General Joseph Votel, former commander of the U.S. Central Command. The Minnesotans Military Appreciation Fund awards cash grants to say thank you to Minnesota service members. To learn more, visit thankmntroops.org. We're just about out of time. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, George Johnson from the Minneapolis VA, Command Chief Master Sergeant Paul Kessler, Command Chief Master Sergeant Mark Rukovina, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham, Commissioner Larry Herkey, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we talk about our Blue Star Mothers and get an update on veterans issues from the state legislature. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.